Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 16th, 16th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from Eureka City Schools, Fred Van Fleck.
Howdy.
Notice I don't
nice
pause
be
between your name. This is Fred Van Fleck.
Oh, is that? That must be what I do.
It's
huh?
on your ad. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Well,
you're waiting for the thunderous applause. I know that's what you're waiting for.
I think there must have been a space added in there.
Oh.
Must be a recording issue,
must
right?
Must have been our fault. Sorry. So, Fred, you hornswoggled, kidnapped, cajoled, or bribed somebody to come along with you today.
I did.
I eliminated all the friend stuff, Omar, so you don't have to worry about
that.
Yeah.
I see that.
Right. So I'm happy to have with me today Omar Khattab. Omar is our brand new meaning about 6 months ago. He was appointed as the athletic director for Eureka High School. So I brought him here today to talk a little bit about the athletics program going on at Eureka High School.
Well, somehow I think we'll probably end up talking a little bit about funding for the same stuff and prioritization and...
Well, I thought Rick Hanger took a good stab at that earlier this week. Didn't he, though?
Yes. You're smiling. I'm noticing either you don't have quite as many wrinkles or the Botox has kicked in. We'll find out what that's all about when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Omar Khattab and Fred Van Fleck. Did I get your...
Correct.
All right.
Thank you very much for doing that right.
You did my name wrong, though. You didn't get the pause.
Fred Van Fleck. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from an unknown author, but it's still a heck of a quote. Never get into a fight with ugly people because they have nothing to lose.
That's why nobody wants to fight me ever. I got it. You just solved my life's problem.
Yeah, but gave so many more people that problem. Fred, when we think of academics versus extracurricular, and we both, I guess all three of us have a penchant for leaning in one direction on this argument, but when you're looking at tight budget, relatively tight confines physically, how do you sit back and go, okay, music counts, but we're going to drop a history? Or sports counts, but only this many sports, not that many sports. Not because the kids don't want to participate, but because we have higher priorities in other areas. How do you stack all that stuff up and go, okay, this is something that is critical. This is something that's nice. This is something we'd love to have if we had that kind of money. How do you do that?
Well, that's a good question. There's several different ways that we look at that, and it depends on the size of the program. So small everyday decisions are made by staff, and when you start talking about programs and bigger decisions, those are generally decisions that are made up at the board level. And one of the things that the board does is they develop a strategic plan so they can prioritize those things. And the idea behind the strategic plan is they have a set of goals, 1 through 21, ranked from their highest priority in the district to their lowest priority of the priorities of the district,
okay,
if that makes sense.
Okay, what's number 21?
Oh, boy. I couldn't even tell you right off the top of my head. I think it has something to do, my recollection has something to do with work organization and job descriptions being accurately describing exactly what each position within the district is doing.
So not necessarily a day-to-day function impacting kids directly.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. But it definitely impacts the employees daily because it is exactly what they're supposed to do at their work. Where if you look on the flip side, the number one priority of the district is fiscal stability of the district. And so that's number one. And then
that's not what the teachers are involved with directly.
Well, the teachers,
or the kids.
So the teacher's priority is number five. And what number five says is that the board wants to make sure that they have a competitive pay scale for all employees in the district. And then you go to...
You didn't know 21, but you knew number 5?
Yeah, I do know number 5.
Okay, what's 14?
Number 15 is the physical education program, which happens to be what we're talking about here today.
You mean that Omar's got 14 things on that have higher priority than he and his area of responsibility?
That is correct.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. So remember, these priorities are set by the board, and it was actually a whole community process in setting the priorities of the strategic plan. So when you're going into tight times, the idea is you're supposed to cut from the bottom priorities of the strategic plan toward the top, and so those top priorities really get preserved. And then when you start coming into times like we're talking about right now, when money's starting to come back into schools in California, we'll start at our top priorities and work our way towards the bottom as far as funding some of those things that are happening in the district.
You alluded to the fact Rick Hanger from Office of Ed was in on Monday. He had the numbers for the county schools. For Eureka City schools, what is this? And I'll still say it as a proposed budget.
That's what it is, yep.
Look like for the upcoming year for the Eureka City schools?
Well, there's many different directions you can look at that budget. The first one that I want to talk about is the pay down of the deferrals. And so what that means is, and I think Rick so eloquently put it, that we're getting paid at the end of the month for the work that we did at the end of the month, as opposed to getting paid next year for the work that we did this month. So that will help what we call cash flow. And it'll make a big difference as far as us being able to meet the payroll at the end of the month. Now, that has nothing to do with the budgeted dollars, and that's the thing that really makes generally the big difference. And we're looking at a pretty substantial increase, and as you look at it, we're probably about a $34 million budget, and we're probably looking under the governor's proposal someplace in the $1 million range, plus or minus, and I'm using great big round numbers that my CBO would kill me on.
Well, that's okay. One, Paul's not here, and two, I can't remember the small numbers in the details anyway. So you got a chunk that's coming that isn't allocated that's there for next year. Where are you looking at putting that? Is that towards roofs and things of that nature, infrastructure? Are you looking at investment in technology, one-time things?
Well, the good news, I get to duck on this one a little bit because we have not had a board meeting since this has been out. We happen to have a board meeting tonight. Staff recommendation will be, I'll put that one. Staff recommendation will be to pay down our deficit spending. Right now, last year.
Oh, that's sexy.
I know it. I know it. Yeah. But the reality is that we are spending about $1.06 for every dollar that we're bringing into the district, and this will help eliminate that.
Well, that's not too sexy either, but getting it into one-to-one makes sense. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Omar Khattab. You know, are you going to be able to use this one for a year or two?
It's perfect.
Yeah, okay, good. Next teacher meeting? Yeah. Staff meeting?
Well, you know, it's such a long last name. You have to take a breath to get it out.
Maybe before you even start it.
Yes.
Considering the implication of Van Fleck is just enough to cause you to pause in your life. Omar, what's the biggest surprise that people who don't have kids in athletics would say about high school athletics in Humboldt County?
That's a pretty good question. But I think maybe one of the biggest surprises would be the elite level of competition and expectation that's at the high school level. You know, I think Eureka High School is one of the, or can be looked at as the premier athletic location on the North Coast. We've had some great athletes.
K-12,
absolutely. Yes, correct, yeah. And that's what we're talking here, by the way.
The we kid's
talking,
bullish here, Fred.
K-12, but yeah, right, me, yeah. Right, let's keep me in line, right? So, you know, I think Eureka has that reputation. We've had some great athletes come out of our school. We have some great athletes coming out of our school right now. We have a couple of athletes currently that look like they could be potential Division I athletes. So I think going forward here, the reputation that Eureka High School has for athletics is going to continue to have that sort of that aura to it.
How do you deal with the pressure? Did you tell them any of my background, Fred?
No.
Okay. I went to Eureka High.
Yeah.
Kid went to St. Bernard's. So I mean, so we've kind of been around a little bit. I've always thought Eureka should kick butt in every single sport it fields a team. Student population. End of story.
Yep.
You got twice as many kids?
Exactly.
You should be twice
bigger
as
pool
good
to choose from.
Particularly in the HDN.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when you go out of the area, that's where we really start to find out how good somebody is when you're playing state or regional competition.
This is true.
Okay. That's pretty straight up, pretty fair. So when you're looking at some of these various teams or you're talking to your coaches, geez, let's go out there and give it a good shot.
Right.
Try your best. Or you say, guys, at the end of the year, I want to see you on top. It should be there. The numbers say they should be there. The tools say you should be there. I say you should be there. What do you say?
Well, here's a great example in this year's football season. You know, with a new coach, Coach Jason White, our new coach, we kind of got back to winning ways. We went 9-3 this year and went into the second round of the playoffs and did have to travel out of the area where we did kind of meet a giant of out of the area and did kind of find out that we have some things that we need to sort of adjust to, right? We played a great first round game against Hercules High School here. They were an out of the area team that came up here and we put a good, we had a good showing there. Qualified for the second round where we traveled down to Marin Catholic, who ended up going and playing in the championship game. They actually lost the championship game, but ended up going and playing the championship game. But where I'm getting to is one of the things that Coach White and I have worked on this year is actually eliminating the double round robin that we were playing here in the HDN. So, right, you know, this last year we played everybody twice. You know, we played McKinleyville twice, Arcata twice, all the local schools, Fortuna twice. And next year we have a new schedule. We're going back. Jason and I petitioned the HDN, and we had a unanimous agreement amongst everybody, and they allowed us to go back to the single-round tournament, the single-round style of playing. So we will go back next year to playing everybody in the local area just once. And we got a big schedule next year. We got schools. We're going out and playing Crater High School from Oregon. We're going to play Enterprise High School from Redding. Yeah. We're going down south to play a couple games out of our area. So we're gonna
some of the historical schools that Ukiah used to play.
Exactly, like Ukiah and Shasta are back on our schedule now. So what we're aiming to do is actually exactly what you alluded to. We're actually kind of aiming to push the bar up a little bit and go out and meet some of those teams out of the area that are big and strong, so that we can kind of match up, and maybe when we hit the playoffs the next time, we'll be a little bit more prepared for some of the big teams that are out there that we're going to be playing.
Does the same thing hold true for cross country, for wrestling, for, I don't like to say second tier, but perhaps those sports where they don't get as much attention?
Yeah, that's great. So we just, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this program are probably aware that we just, on this last Saturday, had our North Coast Classic wrestling tournament. We had 24 schools here from all over the place. We had about close to 500 kids here competing on Saturday. We had a couple hundred kids sleeping on our mats on Friday night. It was a great experience for the wrestlers that came up. And we, yeah, right? A little salty.
Another reason why I played basketball and didn't wrestle.
Yeah, right? But it was a really fantastic showing, actually. I was really proud of our coach for putting together such a great tournament. Lots of players came up and competed, and our school finished third place out of 24 schools. So we had a pretty good showing, actually, as far as the wrestlers were concerned.
How much influence does the coach have in setting the schedules and doing like the tournaments and things like that? Or are they executing the athletic director's wishes?
Well, right now I'm working together with the coaches, and we're setting schedules. Some of these coaches have a history here already, and they do a lot of the legwork, you know, prior to the year even starting. I know that our wrestling coach, Clint Hunter, who's great at actually communicating with a lot of the schools out there, you know, it's a lot of work to bring 24 schools to Humboldt County, as you can imagine. But, you know, a lot of work goes into that. A lot of work goes into the hosting. A lot of work goes into putting on the tournament. But what a fabulous experience for our kids to get that, that chance to compete against a lot of schools from out of the area.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Omar Khattab and Fred Van Vleck.
All right.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Omar Khattab from Eureka City Schools and High School. Omar, maybe that wasn't quite a faux pas. As being the athletic director at Eureka High, what focus do you have down to the junior highs? Do you talk with the coaches? Is there, when I was playing ball at Humboldt, there was a great analogy that Cosentino used with basketball, because he had been varsity and then there was a JV and a freshman. And he said everybody played the same plays, ran the same plays, so if somebody got hurt, you could grab somebody and they just slid right in. Everything was connected on a string. And I always thought that analogy was really cool, unless you're a marionette. But by and large, I thought that was really kind of cool. So is Zane and Winship, are they practicing those same plays? Is there coordination? Is there discussion? Or is it hire a parent to be the coach and maybe you have to undo some things, kind of like, you know, the Little League proposition?
Yeah. Those are great questions. Right now, I think as a district, we're very interested in having teachers, as many in-house folks fill the roles of coaches as possible. That's not always possible, but that is the intention behind the district, and that's one of our biggest game plans, actually, is to have as many Eureka City School staff members take on the positions of coaches as possible.
How come?
Because, you know, there's a great connection there. You know, when you have a parent, unfortunately, the parent, not to knock parents, because some turn out to be great coaches. However, they don't have the daily connections with students that teachers do. Teachers are on campus every day. They're able to deal with a lot of the issues that arise during the course of a day and during the course of a week of practice. So as an athletic director, even from my perspective, I think it's very preferable to have somebody that you are in direct contact with on a daily basis and that has direct contact with the kids, the athletes, on a daily basis as well.
Okay. Just to play Fred for a sec.
Do it. Yeah.
Even if the caliber of coaching is inferior.
That's a good question, too, of course.
As an example, okay, let's say you've got a baseball, somebody who played AAA or majors,
mm-hmm.
who wants to coach.
Right.
Versus a kid who played college ball, but got his 4-year teaching degree. Who's better suited to be a coach? The guy who's done it and has the experience, or the guy that wanted to that doesn't have the experience?
Well, I think that...
Now, I do the same parallel arguments in the business classroom, too.
Yeah, and those are, you know, they're very valid questions. You know, it's not often we get a AAA folk come through, but if they did, you'd have to ponder that question. You'd have to really take a serious look at that, you know, and maybe one of the things you do is you bring somebody like that out on the field with the coach and have them sort of assist. Most of our coaches are by themselves, are essentially pressed. You know, they're pressed for time and allocation of resources. So to have extra help come through every once in a while is a great thing. I know a lot of the coaches personally that are more than happy to accept a little help every once in a while. So I don't know, for having a situation like that, it'd be great to transition somebody onto the field like that and see how that would work out, how they could help us out or how they could help the existing coach become better as well.
I would take it a step further, though, too. A great player does not necessarily make a great coach.
The Ted Williams. I was wondering if he was a Ted Williams fan or not.
The Ted Williams story, right?
Yeah. And so you go down that road, and if you think about our credentialed teachers that are on our campuses, they've spent their life learning how to teach. And in turn, especially when you get into some of those PE classes, how to coach.
Correct.
And so I think you're tapping on
a tremendous resource. You've heard the phrase, those who don't know, teach.
Those who can do, those who can't teach. And I don't buy it.
Nor do I.
So you would rather not have a business executive who's been successful teaching a business class. You'd rather have a teacher who's never been in business teaching a business class?
I'd rather have someone who has a passion to go out there and teach kids.
Most successful business people have
about.
Passion, though.
But you're talking on a different level. You're talking on a college level. On a college level, teaching a business class is a little bit different than when you're dealing with students in the K-12 system. The students in the K-12 system are just starting to dabble in those areas of specialty, and you don't need the expertise on how to go out and have that huge business profession. You know, I started Google, so I'm an expert, to teach a high school student great things. You can have someone that has a little bit more superficial knowledge of that and a passion to teach kids do fantastic things with those students.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:40. See, you'll get in the stream
I'm starting to see how this is. I can see how this is rolling.
However, you are in between us, so just kind of keep that one in mind.
I'm in the middle.
It's 3:41. We'll be back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Omar Khattab from Eureka High School. Omar, if you had all this money that Fred is going to be buying off the debt with, so let's say you had one-time funds of, boom. Now, I know there's a contingent that says all-weather field for the football / soccer / baseball / everything.
True, it's a big desire.
Yeah. A million probably only gets you about halfway through the study, it seems.
Probably.
If you could add a sport, what sport would you add?
If we could add a sport, what sport would we add? That's a great question. Well, there's the potential because there's a facility that we have on campus that's sort of been out of commission for a little while, and
he's going to say the P word.
There's some potential.
Yes.
ends with an O-O.
Yeah.
Should I give the last letter?
Some potential talks of that. But
there are not that many schools locally that have swim teams.
There's not.
To be competitive,
we'd have to obviously go out and compete with other areas. I know Reading has a pretty competitive swimming culture.
Well, and Santa Rosa.
And Santa Rosa does as well. You know, Humboldt lacks that swimming culture. Although I know of several students.
Humboldt Swim Club just all had a mass heart attack.
Except if you, but you shouldn't look to today's weather to be indicative of that because the weather in the last few weeks has been looking like some pool weather, definitely, right? But
well, let's talk about swimming for a little bit. It's a guys and gals.
Correct.
It's all levels of abilities.
Correct.
But the last time, and our oldest was involved the last cycle after the Arcleys had thrown the money at it, and then before everything kind of went sideways, there was no travel budget. We were talking a little bit earlier about travel budget. Well, okay, so you got a team, great, you can compete against Arcata, and Fortuna will send their three kids, and Del Norte will send their two or three, and McKinleyville will send their, but it's really not a team in the truest sense of the word, and there was no allocation to be able to go to compete against Enterprise or the schools in Anderson or down in Santa Rosa where there is more of a culture of swimming and have a different league than the HDN for that specific sport.
Absolutely. Well, our isolation up here or our sense of isolation, somewhat isolated here, lends to some of the difficulty in those travel experiences that you're talking about and getting out and playing some of the other teams out of the area. You know, sports in Humboldt doesn't come without its challenges, and that's pretty much the way I think we all folks here in Humboldt look at that situation. Would it be nice to have to develop that culture? You know, what I was getting to a second ago is I was saying I know personally a couple of kids that do travel out of the area on swim teams, so I do know that exists here. if the venue was there for people to use, I don't know. Who knows if that culture would actually develop again? It would be an interesting
again,
question.
Again, good. At least you know about the history of Eureka.
I do.
High
yeah.
And
I
how strong actually, it was in the 70s.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I talked to a lot of folks who talk about the pool and how the pool was part of their, you know, their Eureka High School experience growing up, actually.
I'll bore you to tears in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure you got a story or two, right?
I would argue that the impact of the pool wouldn't be so much on the swimming team, but the impact of the pool would be on the availability of the PE classes. And that's where you reach out and you hit a lot more students.
Correct.
But, you know, and then what you start getting into,
sure, then you got facility
cost
usage.
Versus yeah. impact. In
right.
fact, I just happened to be looking at the files back from 2008. That's when the pool was closed, and the for the most recent time the pool was closed. And the annual cost of operating the pool was $60,000 per year. The income that came in at that point was $11,000 per year. So you had about $50,000 to operate the pool. And so the question comes, especially in 2008 when we hit this huge downturn in education funding going towards education, is where's that $50,000 spent where you get the biggest bang for your buck for the students? And so that's a question that this board is going to face as they make the determination as we move forward of what to do with the pool facility. Is the $50,000 best spent on that pool facility or someplace else?
Well, you'd use that same logic against any of the sporting programs, and you're not going to win.
And let's just clarify that. You did, ask me
I
to
would
state,
argue that.
If I had all the money, you said, what would
yeah,
I do?
Right? Okay, yeah.
If I had all the money, you said.
How much does it cost to operate the football stadium?
Every time you turn on the lights, it's probably about $1,200.
Oh, no. I'm talking about watering it. I'm talking about maintaining it.
I know. I'm just giving you a chunk.
I'm talking about the remodeling that has to go on, the standard, the ADA, about da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's all.
And you got five home games.
No. It's all for the graduation ceremony.
When you know who's up on stage, Fred Van Fleck. Yes.
No. But here's the thing that sports.
Or chemistry labs. How much does a chemistry lab cost? A full on. You got the hood. You got the whole nine yards. The liability cost, et cetera, et cetera.
A lot.
Oh, thank you very much for that insight. Okay. So you can kill a conversation pretty quickly, too, with rounded answers.
The thing that I would go to with sports, and I truly believe this, what sports do for students is they provide that tie. Some of these students would not be in high school and would not complete high school without that tie to some sort of organized sports program.
Well, and the community doesn't connect if yes. there's not a sports or a music program.
Absolutely. Very true.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Yeah.
You couldn't convince me that we could need to kill the sports program. You just couldn't convince me of that as a superintendent, because there are so many people that are so greatly impacted by what sports do for their lives.
Oh, now you're getting the fan calls and everything else. Show's over. Thanks for coming by, Fred. Omar, nice to meet you, bud.
Likewise. Thank you, Mr. Pepsi. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.